Hello and welcome to the Coastal Noise Podcast. To hear more episodes, go to coastalnoise.com, click on the podcast page, and you can stream or download the audio files for every episode we have. We're going to do a giveaway for this show, so if you go to the website and you click one of the like buttons that you can find throughout the site, your name will be entered to win a free Coastal Noise t-shirt. And of course, likes, shares, and comments are all the best ways to support the show. It supports comedy and all the other art forms that we're affiliated to. And on that note, also check out the new uploads I've made to the photography page, as well as the last blog upload I uploaded entitled Five Movies You Should Watch Right Now, which we discuss more at the end of the show. On today's show, we have two touring comedians from Florence, Oregon. Doug and Therese Wyckoff performed with Landmass Comedy last night at the Irish Coast Pub with Daniel and Derek, doing their themed show of a newlywed couple called The He and She Show. It was their 30th state out of their planned 50, and the next morning, Doug and Therese sat down with me to talk about their journey, religion, road food, virtual reality, couch surfing, consciousness preservation, and traveling to outer space. And of course, we naturally have a fair share of laughter throughout the show. To learn more about Doug and Teresa's tour, you can go to theheandsheshow.com and see when they are coming to a town near you. This is Coastal Noise Podcast, episode number 39. Enjoy.
This is cool.
Yeah.
This is very professional. We've done other podcasts, but they haven't been
so... So you need to be this close to here.
They haven't been so professional.
Closer.
Closer?
Yeah, you're very loud all the time on the microphone before. How come you can't be loud in here?
Is this better?
That's a little bit better.
A little bit better?
Is that better? The soft tunes today.
Chick.
The 80s and the 90s.
Ooh, you've got a good voice for radio.
Thank you.
He's been told that before on radio, actually.
I have a radio face also.
He's been told that by me several times. All right, times.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to start with some hot topics.
I was watching Robin Williams and The Kingfisher. Have you ever seen
that?
Yes, absolutely. Jeff Bridges as the radio host. He's got a fantastic radio voice.
He does.
The premise of the movie kind of turned me off at first because it was like jerk of an ass of a radio host says mean things to somebody and like the guy goes on a killing spree and then Robin Williams is a homeless guy who wants him to find the Holy Grail. I'm just like,
It's I remember I watched it in high school. I think it had just come out. That's how old I am.
It's been a while.
And it was, I remember the first time I watched it, I was so confused. I did not know what was going on. I had to watch it a couple times to get it.
Yeah.
I was a small high school student. So confused.
You mean you're like physically small or like your school was small?
Was
or like you were like really tiny. People are like, oh,
because
look
of
how
her stature, it made her very confused about Robin Williams movies.
Right, because she's tiny.
What's the Holy Grail about? I'm so tiny.
Sometimes I have to decipher what she says.
Because he's so tall, so he gets it first.
I speak Teresa speak.
That's true, actually.
I will translate. Go ahead.
The mediator.
I don't want to talk too much.
I actually did that one time because she was like screwing up on stage, and then I'm like, I will explain. And then she's like, shut up. And then she went to tell her story and like
did it again,
screwed it up again. And I was like, okay, so this is what she's trying to say.
He had to translate. I got like all mixed up.
How long have y'all been doing the concept of the newlywed? I guess you got married first, right? Is that the...
Yeah, I mean, when we did the newlywed part, but we actually have done our
I guess
show
as a team.
As
is
a
what?
Team together for almost 3 years.
About 3 years we've been doing it.
3 years. Yeah, and it just goes by so fast. But the part where we're actually on stage together, we've only been doing that for...
A couple of years.
A year and a half. I think to the duo part portion.
This is some very exciting podcast information here. Oh, a year, year and a half, 2 years, three.
I don't know. We haven't been doing it the whole time. So we've been doing it about half as long together on stage.
Mm-hmm.
People were like kind of disappointed when they come because they expected to see us together. So we would each do a co-headline set and... where I would do half and he would do half, and then they'd be like, why aren't you together? And then we did a couple little things together, like where we did prize giveaways or something at the end, and then we had fun and we decided to keep doing it, but it's scary.
she should be very afraid while she's
I know. It's just different. It's like if you're learning how to drive a car and you've learned how to drive on an automatic car, it's like, you know how to drive, right? But then, like, let's say you buy a stick shift and you have to figure out how to use a manual transmission. You already know how to drive, but there's this whole new facet to it, you know, and that's how it is kind of on stage. Because we did stand-up individually, and we kind of were in a role with that, and then doing it together is like a whole new...
Mm-hmm. Does that make it easier or harder because of that shared chemistry?
I think in some cases it makes it harder, because you have to... Like last night, I did a little bit more of the talkie-talkie than apparently I was supposed to. Sometimes it's easy to just keep going because you're so used to, like, it's just me and I've got to do it, you know?
Sometimes it's difficult to get a word in edgewise with her. Go ahead and finish now.
But it's also really fun. For us, I think it's our favorite part because when we do get a rhythm and we're bantering, it's really fun. And we can help each other out, too, on stage. It's a really safe place because, like, if I'm struggling, for example, he was saying about a joke, like, if I, like, I'm getting it out wrong or I'm screwing it up, then he can, like, jump in and translate for the audience. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's like a way to, like, you know, save each other.
Mm-hmm.
Save each other. We save each other on
stage.
Sounds
like it's like we're dying up there and we each have to give each other resuscitation every once in a while.
There are a few shows that have felt like that. But no, I think it's just really fun to do it together because we're always doing the comedy together because we're always like...
Thank you for specifying.
Yeah,
she steals my jokes. Go ahead.
It's fine. I write them anyway, so it's fine.
Whatever.
Yeah.
People enjoy the banter back and forth.
Yeah.
And we usually, when we're in our private life, we don't really talk to each other. We try and keep it on
in
stage.
In the car?
Yeah.
There's no talking in
there's
the
no
car.
There's no talking in the car or the hotel room. It's like, I'm trying to focus. And then when we get on stage, it's like a dam bursting. She just, you know.
I get so excited.
All comes, I know. She finally gets to talk.
No, that's not true. None of that is true.
That's all 100% true.
None of that is true.
Next question, please.
So did y'all start the tour out of your hometown in Oregon? Is it Florence or Portland?
That's good. Wow, you did your research.
A little bit.
Wow, I'm impressed.
So I'll answer this one.
Yes, please do, Baby Pumpkin.
I know your voice is probably tired.
By the way, Baby Pumpkin, I'm gonna be taking that one day. If that doesn't get a girl's heart, I swear. It's so cute. Baby Pumpkin.
I prefer Strong Hero. But
delicious and cute.
She won't call me that.
My friend calls her boyfriend the Strong Hero. And he's like, why don't you call me that? I'm like, nope, you're Baby Pumpkin.
I want to be your Strong Hero.
You're my Baby Pumpkin head. So what's your answer to that question, Baby?
What was the question again?
I don't remember. No, I'm kidding.
Where did we start?
Starting the tour. What, and was it Florence or Portland?
We actually started in Portland, Oregon. We lived in Florence. And then... The whole goal was kind of just became we were going to do start in Portland, Oregon, and finish in Portland, Maine.
Mm-hmm.
So we did start in Portland.
Yeah. We did like a little show before we left in Florence, Oregon. It's a cold, windy, desolate coastal town.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, but it's very cold.
Yeah.
When we got married there, and it was in this July 7th, and it was like 60 degrees and like 30 mile an hour winds, and we got married outside on the coast.
It's just like San Francisco. It's beautiful.
So we were so excited to have a summer, and we have had a summer. I mean, it's been beautiful because we didn't have a summer the whole year and a half we lived there.
So we decided to come to the south for our summer and get two this time.
Yeah.
It's worth two summers here.
It is because we like
it's
curved
hot.
Into the south right as fall started. So it's starting to get cold now back in Oregon, I think. I don't even know. I haven't been looking at the
I believe
Facebook.
It snowed. Yes, you're correct. Yeah. it's August.
It's going to be warm all the way till the Upper East Coast, I think. And even then, it'll still be fall. Anyway, but we actually met and started doing comedy together in Hawaii and Maui. So weather to us has been important in our relationship.
Mm. Yes.
Is Hawaii where you started the group, or you were involved with a group there? And that's...
I started doing comedy in Maui, and then I moved to LA, and Teresa started doing comedy in Wilmington, North Carolina, mm-hmm. and moved to New York. And we both just realized that those places were big and mean too early for our careers.
So way too early.
I came back to Maui, and then her brother lived there, so she moved to Maui also. And then we met doing like a one little show, and there's really no comedy there. So we kind of met and created a group called Power Up Comedy.
Well, it wasn't like we created the group, but we met. There was other comedians there too, and it was like... all of us were like, okay, we want to do comedy here, but there's no one really producing comedy that was like knew how to produce comedy. So we were like, let's band together. And one of the guys had already kind of done a couple shows under Power Up Comedy, Chino. And so he's like, let's use this name. So we all, like, I think it was five of us at the time, banded together and started an open mic that still goes on there in Maui. That's pretty, like, it has a huge audience, actually. And then monthly shows where we brought in headliners from the mainland, and we all, like, got to do longer sets. And it was a really, like, microcosm of comedy on this small island. And I think we all grew really fast, really quickly. Really fast, really quickly. It's the same thing.
She's trying to say the same thing. Yeah. There. Okay, go ahead.
And it was really fun. We had a really good time. It reminded me a lot, actually, last night. When we were working with Landmass Comedy, it really reminded both of us a lot of Power Up Comedy, especially when we first started.
Mm-hmm. I love their name, by the way. Very iconic. Yeah. Yes.
I think they said that the meteorologist used to refer to Mississippi as just the landmass.
It's going
to
hit somewhere between New Orleans and Mobile, Alabama, in that landmass mm-hmm. there.
That's mm-hmm. awesome. Ben was telling us that story yesterday because I couldn't figure out. I'm like, why is it landmass when you're on the coast? Like, so it's pretty funny, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in a landmass. You basically just live in a landmass between New Orleans and Mobile.
It's a generic section of land between important places.
Yeah, it's here. We don't like to claim ourselves as being an actual, like, established place. We just rank too low in everything to, like, really pay attention to us. So we're just called the landmass.
Not in our hearts.
Well, thank you.
In our hearts, Gulfport, Mississippi ranks very high because we had a really fun show.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's how we judge places.
Well, the coastal area around here is so much different than, you know, up north in the woods and whatever else. I mean, you've got these three areas. Well, I say these three areas, kind of Gulfport, Biloxi, and Ocean Springs mm-hmm. are like the three biggest coastal towns, with Gulfport being the highest in population. Ocean Springs is more of the art, more liberal, laid back. But as a whole, this is just way more of a liberal vibe down here. And then, you know, you go an hour and a half up, you got Hattiesburg, which is a major university town. And then, of course, the other college towns, State, Ole Miss, and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Jackson, the capital. But yeah, this is, in my opinion, this is the best place to be, is right here on the coast, as always. All oil spills aside and hurricanes.
Just a hurricane.
But it's the coast I've found is more like the rest of the civilized world mm-hmm. compared to the rest of the state that you described is more...
The rest of the landmass?
The rest of the upper landmass.
You yeah. lived in Hattiesburg for a few years.
I lived in Hattiesburg for 3 years. I learned a lot. It was very educational.
Mm-hmm.
Be nice, I did baby not understand how bitter they were towards the damn Yankees. So, and also, if you're not Baptists, you're pretty
or
much,
Catholic.
Well... Even they'll talk bad about the Catholics too.
But you crazy Mormons, you were like the little devil horn people coming in.
Yeah, it was a good time.
It's a good time.
I left Utah because I wasn't Mormon, so I moved here, and then I wasn't from the South. I was a damn Yankee. So mm-hmm. I moved to Hawaii where I was the stupid Howley. So
white person.
Just going around looking for the place to be.
People just want to beat me up.
I don't know if that's a problem with If it's everywhere you go that everyone wants to beat you up.
There's a common denominator
maybe
there.
Maybe that's not everywhere else. Because I lived in the South. I lived in North Carolina. And everyone was very sweet to me.
Yeah, I'll bet they were. There's a difference between you and I.
What's that, baby pumpkin?
Some of us can hit the lower octaves. And some of us can't.
Anyway.
Did you ever get around to Boone in North Carolina?
Boone, the Boone. Country.
Yeah.
And the mountain people.
Yeah.
I didn't.
No.
I sound like I did.
I remember.
It sounded like you knew everything about it.
I know people from Boone. Yeah. I met people from Boone. And they all had a little bit more of a deep... Okay, this is the thing I noticed about this area is there's a couple different kinds of Southern accents I've found. And I'm probably going to go into a Southern accent in and out because... I don't know, I absorb it. But there's like the mountain, like far country Southern accent. Which
hillbilly?
I didn't say that. I just, they live more in the mountains and they eat things like possums. I'm not judging.
And they
just
got one tooth. Did you know that the toothbrush was invented in Mississippi?
Oh my goodness.
Really?
Yeah, because if it was invented anywhere else, it'd be called a teeth brush.
Oh.
Yes, that's the...
Ba-dam-bam. Right, way to take that as your own.
That's not my own joke. That's a bar joke disclaimer.
Please. And then, but then there's, like, everyone that we've met here has the different Southern accent. That's what they have mostly in Wilmington, North Carolina, which is like this educated, soft, like movie, beautiful Southern accent, which is what you have, actually.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Very neat.
It's great. Like the nice Notebook. Safe. It's
very
like
well
the
done.
It's the Southern accent that is starred in the movie The Notebook. That like
or Morgan Freeman's
yes.
Like occasionally you can
yes,
kind of hear it out.
That's good.
Gone with the Wind.
Everywhere
Gone with
you
the Wind.
Be.
Scarlet, my darling.
Yeah, that was
a
little
British.
I don't think he really did a very good Southern accent. I mean, it's classic Gone with the Wind. She did, but
here's the
she's
question.
British actually.
Do we sound like we have an accent to you?
No, you guys sound very...
Just normal.
Yeah, it's just standard.
See,
I don't know.
That's just the way it is.
I kind of think it's better to just have like a standard thing. That way you can... Like nobody really latches on to an accent. Although some people think it's hot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But probably better just to like go for the...
Just neutral.
Yeah.
Just live in the middle of life.
Mm-hmm. Some people go out of their way to get the accent.
Yeah.
And it's just terrible. You know, especially with the Southern accent.
Doing a Scottish accent. Yeah, or British. I do think when I was in Scotland, I was quite enamored by the Scottish accent. It's like everyone, all the guys running around were like little Ewan McGregor, so I was very excited. Sorry, baby, this is before you.
Mm-hmm.
Females like that, those accents, it's true.
Mm-hmm. So y'all have gotten around to a lot of places on your tour. This is your first all 50 state tour.
This is it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy and it's insane.
This is your 38th
stuff?
30th state.
Mm-hmm. 30th state.
And 40th
show.
Performance.
Yeah, performance. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Thank you.
Because we've done some like open mics along the road, and we've done some showcases, and then in some states we've done more than one show. So like in California, I think we did four or five shows, and in Washington State we did two, and Utah we did two. So yeah, but I would say performance wise 40
performances in 30 states.
It's a lot of microphone time.
Mm-hmm.
yeah
mm-hmm.
But being able to travel, I mean, that's got to be one of the greatest things.
Oh man, it's amazing.
We camped at the Grand Canyon, we camped at the Black Hills, where Crazy Horse and Mount Rushmore is. We camped on the shores of Lake Erie. We camped on the shores of the Mississippi River.
And then we've done a lot of couch surfing as well.
Yeah, we were talking about this last night, and y'all have couch surfed a lot along the way.
It's been really fun. We've had like all really good experiences. We had a last minute couch surfing experience in Houston, which was super fun. And we ended up doing a game night with a bunch of people we didn't know. They were having a game night party, and we like playing board games. So we ended up like eating homemade lasagna and playing board games for hours. And it was like super random and fun experiences you don't get, you know, when you're staying in a hotel or camping necessarily. And like New Orleans was awesome because we stayed in the Ninth Ward and kind of a refurbished kind of neighborhood, very artsy. It was really a great experience. It's so much fun to meet people and become friends. You said that's your favorite part of the trip so far.
Are you putting words in my mouth?
No, I'm just opening the door for you to speak.
It's my turn now?
Yeah.
I was napping.
Wow.
No, actually, yeah, I do. That's the part I enjoy is getting to meet the people and socializing with different people. We've met so many different types of people through couch surfing, but yet they all have kind of one common thing. And what's amazing to me is like you'll be like show up to their door and they're like, okay, we got to take off. So here's the keys to my house. And then they just leave.
Mm-hmm. You're so trusting. And I think, well, I mean, as you know, because you've couch surfed, that they have like reviews and you can, you know, you wouldn't just do that.
Sounds super sketchy on paper, but I mean, it's actually pretty legitimate.
It is.
You know, they have validations and user feedback, mm-hmm. comments and all that stuff.
It's really fun. That's been really fun. And then meeting the other comedians has been, that's like one of my favorite parts is meeting other comedians and seeing the different comedy scenes in different places. And
I think we've performed with almost probably 100 different comedians
so far on this trip, at least 30 times. I would say we perform with comedians 30 out of the 40 shows, because we do some, well, maybe a little bit less, because we do some shows where it's just him and I. We do the whole like show ourselves.
So I'm saying, I was going to say like about 3 per show for our shows that, you know, for the states we've done and stuff. So it's like right around probably 100 comedians.
Mm-hmm.
He does the math and the relationship. I can't do. I was going to say it was like 300. It's like 300.
The
gas
miles. And
yeah, he's actually
stuff.
In charge of all of
we've
that.
We've driven almost 13,000 miles now.
Wow. Yeah, which is crazy considering the U.S. is what, like 3,500 miles, 2,500 miles across?
Mm-hmm.
We just did a really.
We've made like 4 or 5 laps now.
Yeah, we've just zigzagged.
Actually, we did. We've been planning this for a couple of years, and we had a map with pins and yarn and all the places we were going to.
Yeah. It was a lot easier on paper. Like making the map.
It was fun when was just yarn and pins involved.
Where do we want to go?
It's so easy, and you just put the
it's
yarn.
It's like we're
on.
Almost there.
It's like having a map of Everest, and like, here's the base camp, and we want to go here
it's
to the
so
top.
Easy.
There it is. We're done.
We're done. But it has flown by so fast, too. Like, it's just insane. Like, the weeks fly by. And
it's been,
like,
what, 10 weeks now?
I don't even know. We left on June 27th, so you do the math while I think
about it. It's about 10 weeks.
10 weeks. Yeah, it's been...
Whoa. So that's when I say the number? That's I'm not, like, just guessing or...
Wow. He's smart. Sorry. Excuse me.
Thank you for your validation.
So y'all have had some pretty interesting couch surfing stories. You were mm-hmm. telling me the story last night of the person in the... And they're who just let you into their apartment.
Yeah,
and
we won't say where it was. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter that much. But yeah, it was the creepiest but kind of awesome experience. We do you want to tell the story or should I?
You want the short version or the long version?
Whichever version you'd like, just for people to hear it.
Okay, so I'll tell it.
I'll do it then if you want the short version.
Or the one with actual details. So I'll start it and then you finish it.
I'll just give the highlights and translate.
Just like our intimate lives. I'll start it and then you just finish.
As long
really
as
quickly.
I finish, that's all that matters.
Oh, bam, bam. So that was so cheesy.
Wow. Starfish.
Sex ninja. So anyway,
we speak to each other.
What
in
is
taglines.
Going on?
We talk to each other. If you would like to know what these taglines mean, please
show.
Come see a show, theheandsheshow.com. No, but seriously, back to the story. This is why I just tell them, because it's so much easier.
I think the long, short version, we're getting the long version regardless.
Yes, that's it. She's going to give you the facts, because
so,
I don't do it right.
We were couch surfing, and we were talking on text messaging about, like, you know, I'm like, I'm almost there, and she said, okay, I was taking a nap as I had a really late night, but I'm going to leave the apartment door open for you. So we're like, okay. So we get to the apartment building downtown, beautiful spot in downtown Denver. Sorry, I just said it. I was going to like not even say the town. And we get to the place and then...
Caitlin's house, yeah.
No, it wasn't. That was a... You're just being horrible now.
But we're not going to say her last name, Smith. And go ahead.
That's not her name at all. Okay, so we get there, and it's like, you need a code to get into the apartment. She didn't give us a code, and I text her and get a response because she's sleeping. Someone lets us in, and we go up to the apartment, and it's open, and we come in, we drop off our bags, and we're like, we have a few hours to kill before our show. So we're like relaxing, and we're like, we still don't see her. Hours go by, nothing there. She's not the... We're like, okay, well, we gotta leave. This is weird. We still haven't met her. And so we, like, you know, left all of our stuff there and then left. And I think I was worried. I was like, what if we just went into the wrong apartment that was also unlocked and just left all our stuff and hung out? And so I did text her again, and she texted back and with the code. So we came back late at night, still no one. And we're like, this is really weird, but let's just go sleep on the couch and sleep. And then we got up in the morning, still no one. We're like, what if this is the wrong, this is so weird. So we're talking to each other. And we're like, what if this is the wrong place? And this is so weird. And I feel so wrong. I feel like I've just like, we're going to get arrested for like burglary. And then she texts us. She's like, oh, I can hear you guys. I've just been sleeping. I haven't been feeling well, but I wish we could have hung out more. And we're like, or at all, it would have been good to see your face. But that she apparently she was sick and she didn't want to make us sick. So we basically trapped her in her room for 24 hours.
Well, that's a testimony to how awesome people on couch surfing are.
I know.
Are,
it was very sweet of her. And we actually, it was an amazing place, wasn't it?
It was very nice.
It had a view and
of the city.
Of the city and a baseball field.
And stuff.
Did they have a baseball team?
Does Colorado have a baseball team?
The Rockies, I think.
Let's find
they
out.
Got a football team there?
They had a football team. Yes, no, they no.
The Rockies, and it's the Broncos,
I thought
and
that
the
they
Nuggets,
only had, like, the Little League.
And the Avalanche.
I thought they only had, like, the Little League football team. Like, we can't really throw things football team.
Well, their quarterback does have some mental disabilities, and I think they get a discount for using him.
It was so cute
special
that they
special
let...
needs group.
That was
she
so
knows
cute.
Who they are because she knows that her Seattle Seahawks beat the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl.
I thought it was really sweet that they let that mentally disabled person play football.
Wow. And his name is Peyton Manning. All right. He does have a giant forehead and some diminished abilities with speaking and such.
Anyway. I'm
He's
such a
hanging
horrible
in
person.
There.
You know what's worse is that I did that old. Whole thing from stage in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, no.
And there were people wearing, like, outfits. They did not throw things at us, but there was some booing involved. He always antagonizes people when we're in their state, and they end up liking it and laughing. So I'm like, I'm going to try that. Maybe that wasn't the time to try.
What's this woman getting up there talking shit about our home?
Like, I'll get up at New Orleans, and I'll be like, you guys have a football team here?
You did do that.
And everybody goes, boo.
I know. You did do that.
Who dat? Who dat? See, the thing is, they know I'm doing it sarcastically. She does it, and they're like, she's just being dumb.
Wow.
I'm just speaking for the audience. That's not my opinion. I know you're a very
He took a poll. He surveyed the audience. Right.
I can read a crowd. Some of us can read a crowd, and we know what to say.
The survey he gave out was only one checkbox, though. It's like, what did you think of that? Dumb.
She's dumb.
And I fill it out myself.
It's actually, is my wife dumb? Yes, no, maybe. Check.
I have a form. I fill it out after every show. Here's your review.
Here's your review.
Any show he bombs, he just gets that to make himself
I've
feel
never
better.
Bombed. It's always her fault.
Wow. When I'm not on stage with you, that's
it's
not.
Because you're critiquing me off stage as
that's
I'm performing.
True, I am, but that's not.
So Denver, y'all said was one of your favorite places to do comedy.
Well, as far as like the comedians go, it was amazing. Like, you know, it wasn't even so much, and we've had a lot of great comedians. Like Memphis was really fun, and I mean, so many places I can't even name. But one thing I really liked about the Denver comedy scene, which I think actually Memphis was another place that they were like this, mm-hmm. is that. And actually, Gulfport, it seemed from what we saw last night, is the comedy scene is really tight and like really supportive of each other. And the thing with comedy is, in a lot of places, in most places, we're all very competitive. And so there it tends to be quite a bit of drama mm-hmm. and like backbiting and gossip. And so it was really fun to see a scene where everyone was just super supportive of each other and excited to do comedy and so nice and like generous to everyone, and it was really fun. And they're all very talented, very, very talented. Dallas is very talented comedians too. Oh man!
And there's a lot of opportunities for new and upcoming comics to perform in open mics. They have like I think one every night in Denver, and in Dallas it's kind of the same way.
And the cool thing about Denver is it's not like they just have a really good beginning scene, like where they're building and they have a lot of open mics. They have really good showcases, and then they have really good comedians that go to, like, just for laughs. And
they have comedy clubs. Yeah. It's just a good scene to try and progress in. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful place too.
I would say, if you want to do comedy and start, you know, trying to be, you think you're ready to take the next step, LA and New York are good places. But then if it's like, those are such big expensive places, you know, you want to choose someplace else, I would go with like Portland or Denver,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
maybe Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they have a great comedy scene here as far as comics and stuff, but there's just not that.
They're starting there. They're just building the scene.
Audience, building the audience, yeah. and the awareness is, yeah.
They're
I mean,
just
it's
brand new,
it's,
aren't they?
It's, yeah, it's under a year. Under a year.
Wow.
We started the podcast, you know, and Daniel's been a pretty integral part of that from the beginning. And that was June 2013. And we started doing them, and I think somehow or another, we were doing open mics. I've been doing open mics in the past at this place in Ocean Springs called The Grocery for guitar, mm-hmm. basically just playing guitar. So I started doing that a bunch, and Daniel was always, he's always been into stand-up, and I said, well, why don't you go up there and give it a shot or whatever? So he went up there and did it, and then we had another friend, Ryan, who just moved to Denver, I was telling you mm-hmm. about, moved out to Colorado. He started coming with us, started doing the podcast with us, and he said, you know, I know the people over at what used to be Mizo's is now the Mississippi Juke Joint, which is the same strip in Ocean Springs mm-hmm. of all the popular bars and all this kind of stuff. He's, you know, he was in tight with the owners or whatever, and he said that they might give us a little spot to do an open mic night weekly. So went there and talked to him, and they kind of, you know, let us sponsor the show and let us do podcast there and all this kind of stuff. And so we just started, you know, doing it every week. And Daniel and Ryan just kind of continue to build it. And now Derek's in on it. And then they got the place mm-hmm. over in Gulfport, and they've just been bouncing back, you know, from Ocean Springs and Gulfport, you know, every week, basically
yeah.
two shows. And we've pulled people from like the Hub City Comedy, which is like the Hattiesburg
mm-hmm.
thing. And they've got a really good, well formed group, and they came down and did a show, and they've got more shows coming. What's really helped is the guy at Gulfport, the bar owner, is a huge fan of comedy.
Ben. Yeah, he is really supportive of the comedy scene too. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's like helped them, like he said, like, you know, really create like a web presence a little bit.
Right.
And
well, his venue's great, and he's very supportive, and that helps a lot. I mean, it's great to have comedians who want to do it, which mm-hmm. is very important, but to have a supportive venue is the other part that'll help you grow mm-hmm. because he wants to do showcases and bigger shows. Mm-hmm. So that's where the progression can come.
Right.
And once you start doing bigger shows, you have comedians coming through, and then you get to experience and meet with them. And comedy
and
is a huge social network.
Right.
Of people. It's almost like couch surfing, where you can mm-hmm. get booked for shows because this guy and this guy and this guy says, yeah, he's cool. He's mm-hmm. funny. And he's going to do what he says he's going to do.
Right.
And if you don't do that, then you get people that won't work with you. So mm-hmm. you can get excluded out of the business right away. So having good contacts is a very important part of having opportunities in the comedic business.
Well, and also mm-hmm. you learn from people come through. Like when we were in Maui, probably the two comedians that I've learned the most from, besides my wonderful husband, of course.
Correct.
Is, like we had Don Barnhart come through a few times on Maui, and the Greg Wilson, who's also, he's like an amazing crusher from LA. And I learned a lot from both of them. Like Don Barnhart for us has been kind of a bit of a mentor in a lot of ways. And he let us open for him. And a more Don Barnhart type audience. He's a hypnotist comedian. And he had like 400 people at a show, and it was like really fun to get up there. And because so we don't really usually have 400 people at our shows.
It's more like 150, but she's not good with math. So
was it?
It felt like 400, but let's keep it real.
No, it wasn't. I talked to the owner, and it was sold out, and it was like 300 to 400 people.
You're crazy.
No, well, no, we will
can
verify.
Can we say 275?
Let's meet in the middle. She embellishes numbers. I mean, we were performing to thousands of people in 100-seat arenas, but I don't understand.
No, but seriously, so that was really fun, and he's like really helped us. Like I'll ask him questions all the time, and then also Greg Wilson, he performed with us, and he did a workshop for all of us, and it really transformed the way I constructed jokes and wrote jokes. And so it's like having them come into Maui for us. Not only did we get to open for them, and they like gave us some feedback, but also we got to build this relationship where they've, you know, helped us with our comedy, I think, a lot.
Well, and one thing we've discovered more, I think, on this tour than anything is how much work it is to do comedy outside of just standing up and performing. It's a huge other side of the business where you have to book and promote and do all those things and marketing. And that's like a whole nother side, because no one's going to do it for you when you first start. You have to be able to do that yourself, and people will book you and not just because you're comedic talent, but what else you bring business wise to the table. Like, does he bring fans? Does he promote? Does he hand out flyers?
Or she? Does she as well?
Well, women mostly, you just got to flash stuff and you're fine.
Oh my gosh. That's my misogyny alarm right there.
I'm from Utah. It's my bad. I was raised that way.
Yeah. It really makes you really grateful for venues like Ben's venue, the Irish Coast Pub, and how well they did in promoting the show and getting an audience out, even on a big football night like last night. It really means a lot, because we go to some venues where they won't even put one poster up.
They're yeah, it's your responsibility to promote. It is. If everybody does it, it really makes it that much
better. Yeah, because we're on tour, and it's your, it's people, people are there that night that don't even know there's a comedy show, there's a problem, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it makes it a lot harder for us. So when we come in and they're like posters everywhere and they put stuff in the paper, and we do press releases too, but when it's like we all do it together, it really means a lot to us, because it's whether it can be a difference of a good show or not. And it also, I think, the business side of what we've had to do and booking and promoting and realize how much time that takes makes us really grateful for the times that we've done shows. Like they, in comedy, there's booking agents that book like runs, they're called road gigs at casinos and stuff, where you do like a run of three or four and you drive. And like we've used like Tribble Comedy,
Dave Tribble
and Barry Neal. And it's like booking agents like that, where they set it up for you. And basically we do press releases too, still also, because we want to get a crowd there, but they have consistent comedy and you just basically show up and be funny. Wow. Like we really, when we're booking a tour like this, 50 states on our own, we really look back and we're like, that is amazing experience that we've had. And, really grateful for booking agents for sure. I think
you appreciate them a lot more for what they have to do and deal with.
Yeah, you see that whole other side of it for sure.
But comedy, if you want to grow and succeed in the comedic business, the hey, I'm a comedian, I just show up, I do my time, and then I'm done thing.
It doesn't work.
Not going to work anymore, and it's not going to get you far, because bookers are at a certain level before they start to use you. You have to have a certain amount of funny and a name recognition also.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which we don't really have. I mean, honestly, we don't. I mean, we have some funny, I hope, but we don't really have any name recognition. So for us,
TV credits, we don't have. That's mostly.
No one knows. Like, if you were like out in the world wide web, and you're like, "Who's Teresa Weck?" It's not like I have any name recognition. But it's for us, it's about getting the theme of our show across, because it's different. It's not like a normal stand up show, and a lot of times, especially like even women. Couples that don't normally go to see comedy, or people that even do go to see comedy, they'll see the theme of the show and it'll be interesting. So it's about getting the theme out there, and that's what draws people, because we don't really have name recognition, and we wouldn't expect that.
It's a niche market that we've been able to use
mm-hmm.
to get bookings and such because we don't have big name recognition. We don't have TV spots or mm-hmm. anything like that.
Well, and it came organically. It's not like we're like, what's something different we can do? You know what I mean? It just evolved.
It's just been fun and people like it. So it keeps growing. That's mm-hmm. where we've been lucky.
Yep. Right there. Right yeah. there.
Yeah. It's such a competitive market too nowadays mm-hmm. with the internet mostly. I mean, so many people can just broadcast themselves and, you know, try to get out there, YouTube and all those mm-hmm. kinds of things. So it kind of goes back to the point of what you're saying of you have to be more than just funny. You have to actually be a good business savvy person. You have to uphold your end of the deal. You got to network right through people that are going mm-hmm. to support you. Just like you know, if you're going for a job and you put on the resume your references, you don't want to put people down that, you know, caught you slacking off.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good point you bring up. Like, you can do YouTube or you can do Facebook or you can do a podcast. The problem is you used to be able to do just YouTube and all of a sudden you could be John LaJoy and you become famous. You mm-hmm. make money off of doing that and people know who you are. Now it's so oversaturated that every single person can put a YouTube video up there and you have to search. Okay, so now all of you have to do searching and stuff. It becomes it's all oversaturated, so you have to find a way to rise above on that. Mm-hmm. Same with podcasting. Anyone can buy the equipment and do a mm-hmm. podcast, but how do you get listened to? You know, you have to join these groups or be in a certain area and promote. So it all becomes marketing pretty soon. It's like you have the artistic content, but then how do you promote it and get everyone to see it and hear mm-hmm. it and listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
And if anyone has that answer, I would love to hear it.
Still a quest.
The double C's, I think the consistency and quality, mm-hmm. you know, of content. I think, you know, because a lot of people, it's a lot of work to
Isn't do. Quality spelled with a Q?
Did I say quality? Or content quality?
Content quality. I read between the lines there because he said CQC. Quality and then content. It's the big CQC.
It's my anal exactly. retentive OCD. I'm sorry.
He is a little bit
I'm glad you called
retentive.
Because that would have been terrible quality if I hadn't corrected that.
We are just trying to keep the quality of the content up.
Quality that's control. That's
C
our
for corrections.
Job. That's what I do.
The three C's.
C for Doug. Quality content. Control.
Consistency, quality, and corrections. You got to have those three C's. They're
constantly.
Important. Yeah.
Correct.
But yeah, just keep going with it, you know. I know, just like the road's probably super exhausting after 13,000 miles and you still got another couple thousand to go or whatever. But
right.
if you keep doing it.
Plugging yeah. away, just do it. Just yeah. I mean, there are moments. I think we've each had a moment. Thankfully, we don't always have these moments at the same time because I don't know what would happen, but we've each had a moment where, like, I can't go on. Like, I'm done. You know, it's as comedians, when you have a really good show, it's like afterwards you're on high, like for like sometimes a day or two, depending on how good the show was, sometimes even 3 days, you know, it's like this woo. And then when you have a bad show or like maybe the attendance wasn't great or maybe you felt like you were off. And even if everybody else was like, that was awesome, you did great. And you're like, I was off. And it's like you get super depressed and I wouldn't say suicidal, but like the depth of like, I can't even do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So when we're doing a show almost every night, it's like this roller coaster of like shows. And I think for the most part, they've been pretty good. But we've each had a time where we're like, I don't know if I can go on anymore. Like, you know, and there's been times where we've literally, but we've like, you know, the other person's like, you can do it. We can do it. If we were both at the same point, I think we'd be like, all right, let's just go home. Oh, wait, we don't have one anymore.
It's hard to quit when you're in.
It is. It makes it.
In Houston, Texas.
The car is the home. We have had times. This has been, it's funny because. Because Doug's very like agnostic and I'm very like, you know, I believe in like the Jesus and stuff. So we have different
the Jesus.
So we have like different beliefs religiously. But I would say for me, and he probably hates this a little bit, but like I think my faith in like something bigger is like really confirmed on this tour. He's probably like rolling his eyes right now.
Well, whenever we need special things, I do ask her to pray to the sky wizard and
wow, that's what I'm talking about
delivered.
Right there.
We could use a little bit of that.
But it's been amazing. Like, okay, so a couple examples. There's been, I don't even know how many times that this is an expensive thing that we're doing. It's like crazy, like way more than we thought. So there have been times that we have literally been like, okay, we have enough gas to get to our next destination, and we don't know what's going to happen after that, you know? Mm-hmm. And then that night we end up making either, we haven't even venues that have played us more than we had agreed, which is very rare. And it's like, okay, now we have enough to continue on. And it's just like always been at the nick of time kind of situation. And we've also had scenarios where, well, actually, this was really crazy. We went back and we calculated how much money we've spent on gas, because we drove a lot more than we anticipated just to make sure we hit all states. We had some cancellations. We had to reroute, and we drove like sometimes 10 hours kind of more than we wanted one day. And so we went back and checked it out, and we had spent like a few thousand dollars on gas. And we're like, okay, how did that work? Because we don't use credit. And we haven't had any overdrafts, but we've literally spent more money than we had. So it's like, we don't even know how. It's like the loaves and fishes story.
He's no, like, I really. I left change in front of a voodoo doll.
Oh, so. No, that did not. Yeah. He did do that. And that it was like it's our worst out, show no, ever that night.
Well, there's consequences to your actions. Sometimes you have some bad, goes with the good.
Anyway.
Also,
but it's been really interesting for us, I think, to see how it all just kind of comes together. And you know, it doesn't, I don't know. It's been interesting for me, I think, just to see how it's like shows like have popped up right when we need them to. And people have been at shows. It's like that have been like, it's like that needed to be there kind of situation.
Well, all those things that have happened is because I've put out the intentions to the universe and they've returned them to us. Kind of like having a front parking stall at every single venue. You notice we've had
we
that?
We have had that.
I put that out to the universe years ago, and I've always had a front parking stall.
Years ago.
I did.
Wow, yeah, there you go. And see, there works. You go.
And I said, I need to have someone who can control me and take care of me and make sure I'm fed. And he popped into my life.
Control him. Nice, baby pumpkin. I do feed you, though.
Well, most of it's true.
And you feed me sometimes. I get really angry when I don't have food.
How is the road food? Do y'all treat yourselves when you're out and about and go when to the local hotspots?
When we can afford it. Yeah, we do. When we can afford it, we don't go like super fancy. But this is what we've done, and it's been amazing. Mm-hmm. We do the Yelp, you know. And the so Yelp. We do it like where you search for just the one little dollar sign, which is like the cheapest food they have, but then mm-hmm. the highest rating. And what that's done is we have had the most amazing, like weird food, like I wouldn't say weird food, but food in places that we wouldn't expect it, like diners and stuff that have been amazing. So we haven't spent a lot. We haven't like gone to 4-star restaurants, mm-hmm. but we've pretty much had like really good food for a small amount of money.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's been really fun.
It's
and
worked
then,
out really well for being able to find places that you would like, you wouldn't have been able to find unless someone told you they were mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. And then we've had that too. Like yesterday, the venue owner, we were looking for a place for lunch, and
the pizza place here in town.
What's the name of that?
Brick Oven Pizza.
Brick Oven
something.
So anyway,
it's right by the venue.
I'm a horrible person. I checked in there, so you could look at my Facebook and see where I checked in yesterday, or whenever you read this, just go back and read through all my posts as you're doing it, and then you'll find it. Anyway, it was like, I feel like it was Tom's. Anyway, it was the best pizza one of the best pizzas I've ever had, and it was like $8 for a giant pizza. And we're like, this is amazing.
There's a place like right up the street called it's got a kind of a long name. I've only heard it like once, but it starts with a T. It's like Tremonti's or something mm-hmm. like that. Their pizzas are like 2 foot long. They're huge. And I think they're Brooklyn style.
We might need to go over there for lunch
like
today.
They're really good. But also, there's I was talking to Emily Scholes of Roscoe Bandana, who was at the show last night, and we were talking about Indian food because we only have like two Indian restaurants here. There's this one place called Good Karma, and they're a non-profit Hara Krishna run Indian restaurant, and it's
cool.
All vegan, all vegetarian, all this stuff. You go in, you pay like $10, and they give you everything they're making that day, which is like
what?
A list of like 11 to 13 things, never
Maybe
12.
You should do that.
They're great. It's so fantastic. And every day is new stuff, and they're just super friendly. It's wonderful. It's right off of right on Pass Road here.
So is that like what, buffalo burgers and stuff that they make there?
Indian food. Vegan, all vegan. He's like afraid. I would totally eat there in a heartbeat. And he's all like afraid because he's from the, Utah. He
you're talking
eat.
Dot Indian instead of feather Indian? Is that
like an actual Indian?
From India?
Well, if you want some meat on it, The point I was getting to is there's another place that just opened up. It's called the Orchid, and it's like 5 minutes down the road. And you know, they do a buffet. It's interesting. From like 11 to 3, they do a lunch buffet for like $9. And I haven't tried it yet. I've gone to just order a food. I ordered like some sort of chicken curry or something like that, or it was like a spinach with lamb, spinach sauce with lamb or something like that.
We would like to thank our future sponsor, the Orchid, for this section of the show.
Actually, they should have a tagline, be like, the Indian restaurant that puts the meat on it.
Exactly.
Mississippi.
Mississippi.
If you want meat on it, come to Orchid.
Squirrel, possum.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Raccoon.
Baby pumpkin.
Lizard.
The lizard.
You never had a lizard, mate, I'm telling you.
Wow.
But it's a good place to check out if you ever come back through, you got time before you go on to your next destination.
The Orchid. Put meat on it.
Mm-hmm. Or Good Karma or Tremonti's.
Yeah. Well, and the Good Karma, that one's nonprofit, which is pretty rad. Mm-hmm. And maybe, do they change?
But it kind of sucks because they just like start serving their food at like 11 o'clock, and whenever they're out, they're out.
Mm. Oh, so if you come too late,
you are too late.
You are too late. That could be their tagline. So don't be too late.
If you talk too much crap about Good Karma, does it give you bad karma?
Ooh. Yeah, it's a bathroom thing.
You better give good Yelp reviews only.
Oh, they have fantastic Yelp reviews.
Well, of course they
of
do.
Of course they do. No one wants bad karma.
No one wants bad karma.
Wow. From a marketing standpoint, they've done terrific things for themselves.
Good job, then. Good job, Good Karma. They have good karma on themselves.
Exactly.
We should change our name to that.
I know.
Yeah.
Right.
The Good Karma Comedy Tour.
Who wouldn't want to come see that?
Maybe that's what it'll be on our next tour on the other way across the country if we do that.
All right.
All right.
An agnostic and a Jesus believer. What could go wrong?
What could
the
go
Buddhist
wrong?
Tour.
I know. The Buddhist tour. Is that in the middle? Is that when you meet in the middle between agnostic and a Jesus person? Is the Buddhist tour?
Pretty much it.
Yeah, that's reincarnation, I believe, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's like the halfway. That's like
the halfway thing.
Let's negotiate. Let's
you
meet in the middle.
You don't quite die. You just get another body. You get to be a goat this time.
Oh, gosh. I don't.
Or a frog.
A frog.
Yeah, the orchid cooks goat.
Or frog.
Or one of those big giant roaches they have in the South that are like little people.
Shish kebab tree roaches. There's protein in there somewhere.
Which is my biggest fear. I know this sounds bad because they can't do anything to you, but I'm afraid, deathly afraid of giant roaches.
Well, I think psychological damage is a real thing.
It is. And yeah. I've been traumatized. When I was in North Carolina...
They attacked you and carried you off.
Well, no, my kitty cat. I got a cat to kill them because where I lived, the apartment I lived, had these trees that attracted them. So I didn't have as much as the basement people, but I was in the third floor and I still had them. So I got a cat, and part of the cat's job was to kill and destroy. Because after my roommate left, it was just me, and I would literally wake her up at 4 a.m. to kill a roach because I'd be screaming. So the cat's job was to kill the roach. Well, I woke up in the middle of the night one night, and the cat was shoving a live roach into my mouth, trying to feed me.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
I threw the poor little
gift.
I threw the poor little kitty across the room. I couldn't sleep. I turned all the lights on, and I was, like, panic-stricken.
Did it get in your mouth at all?
It
with
was,
its
like,
little crawly
3 inches.
And stuff?
Oh, it was horrifying. And then, okay, so then I go into the living room. I turn all the lights on. I'm watching a movie on my laptop, laptop trying to decompress, and the kitty cat jumps with its prize bat. It's like, I'm gonna give this to you, I don't care what you say, and like jump and dropped it right on my chest. I was like, no, my laptop was amazing. It wasn't destroyed in the throw. It was,
do you know they can't hurt you, right?
I know. So in Hawaii, they're really big. They're like 6 inches or something. I don't even know. Like,
6 inches. Doug is now holding his fingers 2 inches apart.
That's 6 inches. They're giant. And he had to kill them for me there. But you know what's been amazing? I haven't seen any the whole time we've been in the South.
Oh, you just jinxed yourself now.
I know.
Bad it's
yeah, in my house. You just jinxed yourself in my house.
I know. You're like, I didn't have them before. I mean, I'm like looking on the floor. No, it's daytime. They don't come out.
I was out on break from work, and I came back, and I only get a 30-minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I was coming back, and I wanted to make eggs, toast, and bacon. That was what was going to happen.
That takes
a lot of work, right? So
wow.
I come in here and I'm like cooking it up, getting it done. I, you know, get my food, I eat it, all this stuff. And I'm about to about to leave. I've got like maybe 5 minutes to get back to work, 10 minutes or whatever. No big deal. And I see something out the corner of my eye, and I turn to look, and a cockroach goes from the counter and climbs into my silverware drawer. And I just dropped my head and I said, God damn it. Because you got to go in there. You can't just let him.
You can't, because he'll just be all over the stuff.
So I went over to the drawer and I opened it up. I pulled it out slowly. He wasn't in there. And I was like, God damn it.
He crawled behind.
So he's crawling over all your silverware.
He probably hit every utensil on his way out the door. And I was like, when I get home, I'm going to have to clean every one of these dishes or silverware pieces.
You have to, because they're...
And I got off work a couple hours later. And I came home and I was exhausted. And I looked at that drawer and I said, fuck it. Well, here's it. Picked some spoon, I ate some cereal with it, and I went to bed.
I have a story similar to that. I went to a fancy dinner with my mother one time, and I was like starving, hungry. Mm. And they brought out this nice salad, and I'm sitting there with my fork, and they set the salad down in front of me, and I start to eat about half of it. And then one of them little white roaches about the size came crawling out from underneath the lettuce in my salad.
That's the worst.
And I took my fork and I was like, you little bugger. And I hit him, squished him with my fork and killed him. And then I took my napkin and wiped off my fork and finished eating my salad.
Yeah, that's horrifying. Because, you know,
I was hungry.
The little roaches are bad. Because the big roaches, especially here
in
the South.
So if I'd have killed a big roach, it'd have been okay to eat the salad?
Yes, maybe. Well, no, I don't think I could, but... It makes it a little bit better, sort of, because you can eat other food that they came out. Because, it's, you know, the big roaches, sometimes they're like, I used to work in pest control. They're just there. You know what I mean? They're outside. They kind of wander in sometimes. It is what it is. You can't really do much about them. But the little roaches, they're like the infestation roaches that are there, that are like millions of them. And they're in the food. And
I was mad because he had a little bit of dressing on him and he was stealing that. And I was like, you were not. Taking that.
Yeah, you and I are very different people, baby. I wouldn't have been able to eat anything the rest of the day. I would have had to flee the restaurant.
They actually fry roaches up in some parts of the world and eat them as a delicacy.
And I don't live in those parts of the world.
That's why we don't eat Indian food. Moving on.
Oh, that's bad. That's so bad. Okay, can I share a really quick story about just inappropriate racial comments? Okay, so I was a flight
attendant. It's the theme of this show,
apparently.
Basically.
Racist.
Inappropriate. It's now the time of the show where it's inappropriate racial segment.
Which is funny, because when I was a flight attendant. When I was a flight attendant, my best friend Michelle and I had a song that we created. It was called The Inappropriate Flight Attendants. Anyway. That's neither here nor there. But so we were being inappropriate. We were on a shuttle bus. So when you're a flight attendant, you come into the town and they have the hotel shuttles that take you to the hotels, right? And sometimes it's like your crew and it'll be a few others from different airlines that are on this little bus. So one morning we leave the hotel and we're really late. And so my friend and I, we just jump on the hotel shuttle. And I knew there was a flight crew behind me for United or something, but I wasn't really paying attention to any of them. I just jump in, we're in the front seats, and we're talking. And so somehow the conversation landed on eating dogs and kitty cats. And I was like, that's why, you know, my friends in China said that in the markets, they all eat kitty cats and dogs and they have them hanging. And I'm like, they eat dogs. And she's like, no, they don't. No, they don't. I'm like, no, they do. So I was like, she kept trying to tell me that they don't. I'm like, no, it's true. In Asia, they eat little baby puppies and they eat kitty cats. And so I was like, the more she told me not, like, no.
The more emphatic
the
you
more
became.
Emphatic. It was like, it's true. Because in the markets, they do have, like, I saw pictures.
You're always right.
Because I'm always right. And then we get out, and she was just like, kept being like, no, no. And I was very, the whole ride to the airport was me explaining to her and trying to convince her that this is real.
And then?
We get out of the bus or the van, and I look, and it's an entire crew, and they were all Asian. And it wasn't Unite. I don't know if even was, I think it was actually even like some.
They probably didn't understand.
It was San Francisco. No. If you're a flight attendant, you understand English.
So they were offended
like,
that you were setting the other girls straight.
And she was mad at me because she was like, oh my gosh, you just were. That was so embarrassing. I'm like, well, they eat them, so they shouldn't be offended.
It'd be like them saying, you know, they eat cow and dog and horse.
No.
And chicken.
There you go. You find it eventually. Anyway,
they eat cow and chicken in America.
That was definitely a podcast story and not a stage story, but I thought it was pretty funny.
I like how you fleshed that out during his time.
I'm so sorry. Nice.
No.
It was good. We needed a break. We were both tired of talking, and we were ready to listen for a while.
Have you ever heard the story of like the couple who will go to an Asian restaurant and they bring their dog, and the guy, their waiter doesn't speak good English because this is like authentic, whatever, Chinese, Mandarin, whatever. And they place their order and they say, "Can you feed the dog?" And he's like, "Yeah." And they're like, "Can you feed the dog?" And they do the thing where they spoon, like they're spooning food into their mouth. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." So like he takes the dog off, like presumably to give it food.
And he becomes food?
He becomes the food.
Oh, no.
And when they give them the check, they bring the collar to the table with the check.
Oh, no. Is that butchering
fee? There's,
I think it's bullshit, but I'm, you know.
I would get to Google that.
When I lived in Hawaii.
BYOD.
Urban legend. Bring your own dog. That's what I would categorize that.
I lived in Hawaii, it was on the news. Two guys from the Philippines got busted and sentenced for stealing a dog from a golf course and then taking it home and barbecuing it. That some dude went to the golf course and he tied his dog up over by the tool shed and left to go play a round of golf. He came back and the dog was gone, and it was the two of the workers had seen it and was like, "Oh, someone left the lunch here for us." Actually got sentenced for cruelty to animals.
When I first moved to Maui, I was so excited because someone had told me to try this Filipino restaurant out. It was like to-go food, kind of like street food, and I got like huge amount of food, and I didn't have a whole lot of money at the time because I just moved to Maui and it's expensive, so it was like a treat for me, and I was like just started, I had a couple bites, I was like, this is amazing. And my roommate, who is really big into, you know, animal activism, she's like, "What are you eating?" And I was like, "Oh, it's Filipino food." She's like, "Did you know that they eat dogs basically, and it's in their food, and you don't know what that meat is? They say it's chicken or whatever, but it's probably..." I was like, "But this is so good, and you just ruined it because you told me after that I would have..."
Close your eyes.
I'm sure it was fine too. I'm sure it was nothing.
It's fine.
No, I just feel so racist, right? But it's not as a racist.
Why did you want to go into a racism story?
Is it racism if the culture actually does eat, like you said, dogs?
I don't know. He was really excited for you to go into the whole racism thing, and then you started talking about Asian racism, and I think it might have thrown him off a little bit.
No, I followed.
He's like, what kind of racism is that? They have that other places?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Back to what you were saying about the people who did the dog in and they got jail time for it or whatever.
Yeah.
Reminded me of a story. Have you all heard of swatting? There's this thing in the news recently where video gamers, it's in the world of video gaming, where kids, like if you're playing Call of Duty or something like that and you get beat, there's this thing called swatting where one of the players, you know, the one who loses usually, who's pissed, can somehow look up the IP address or something of the other person, their opponent's Xbox, figure out where they live. So they'll call up the police and they'll say, "I just killed 3 people, and any cops that come into my house, I'm going to kill them too." And they give the address of the person. And so the SWAT team shows up and busts down their door and will arrest that person that's been called on. And this is like a thing that's been going on for a while now. And recently, just in this past week or like a week or two ago, in Louisiana, 15-year-old kid, 25 to life for swatting on 2 accounts.
Wow. It's a good thing that we don't play the Xbox Live anymore.
Or you're rude. Right. I mean, it's a very rude thing to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't swat someone, but I would win.
So he got busted for calling the SWAT
then...
on people then? He called the SWAT.
Well, that is really a stupid thing to do. I'm not surprised. I would be less surprised if he was 16. I'm surprised that a 25-year-old would be like, "I'm just going to call the SWAT." What could happen?
He was 15.
Oh, then that makes more
sense.
He got
25 to life.
Well, as 15, though, like...
15, yeah.
Wow, that's a little... I mean,
that's a little strict.
That's a little strict.
According to the reports, it was a hysterical case from his point. I mean, the kid was... just constantly crying, And just, and at first I was like, man, you know, 25 to life for something. I mean, you could give
he's
the
gonna
kid
be 40 before he gets out of prison.
You could give the kid 5 to 10 years, and that that is more than enough, I would think. You're not going to do it again after that. But he's going to federal prison for terrorism
for his whole life.
They're making an example out of him.
But he's 15. He's under 18. Isn't that like some? Doesn't that like count for something?
They'll fight it. He probably won't get the whole thing. And he'll do juvenile time. And
yeah, that, you know, they'll probably put him away for a couple years and just to make the example, and then be like, all right, well, we'll work with him now.
Just kidding.
Because at first, you know, I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, 15, and for that long a time, like, that's really hard. And then I read the article, and then his it said his gamer tag was Badass Dog 69. I was like, oh, they should probably put him away.
That kid's been talking shit for years.
It's a good thing that your son never lost when he played Call of Duty Xbox Live. He was never a loser.
Right. I'd be like, SWAT's outside. Get the guns. Let's stand off. It's time. They're coming for the guns.
No, that would have been me because I always won, so they'd sick him on me. Actually, we used to play Call of Duty all the time. I got him an Xbox for his birthday a couple years ago. And so we would play, because I wanted to play too, you know, it looked fun. And we stopped as soon as I started winning. I noticed all of a sudden I didn't want to play anymore. It was like, I'm done.
You let her win one time and she's like, we quit because I win the game.
Yeah, one time. That's what happened. Actually,
her most awards are what?
Most time prone and most kills from behind.
Just like our sex life.
Bam, bam. So bad.
Most time prone.
I hope your mommy's not just listening to this.
I was hiding in the weeds the whole game. I didn't get any kills, but no one got me.
I know. That's how I first started to play.
It's like, it's true. A lot of fun.
Because when I first started, I would just get destroyed immediately. So.
Someone would accidentally stand in front of her, and she'd shoot him in the boots, and then I didn't get any points, but she'd get one kill, so she beat me.
No, that's how
it goes.
No.
You guys might want to look into this, all this like VR stuff that's going on with the video game world for your like while you're in the car and stuff. If you just wanted to put yourself in a different reality and not have to deal with the other person for a while.
Really?
Yeah, VR stuff is like about to take off huge. There's this thing called the Oculus Rift that we talk about on the podcast all the time, and I've been following it for like the last 2 or 3 years or whatever, and it was just in the last couple months that Mark Zuckerberg bought it.
Ooh. What is this thing? Like you're speaking
it's
words.
It's like goggles for visual 3D reality.
Yeah, but it's not like the crappy things of the past that were just, you know, horrible and clunky and all this stuff. I mean, it's still got a long ways to go, but they can run modern video games off it now, and people have developed peripheral devices to accommodate it, like this one thing called the Orbital or something like that. It's this freestanding platform. You stand in it, and it's got a dome bottom that you wear shoes like Converses or something that kind of like has no traction, and you can walk in it, and it's got two poles that come up the side, and then it has a thing that goes around your waist to keep you in. And you can walk in it, you can run in it, you can jump in it, and it tracks your movement. And you can, like, you know, if you're playing Call of Duty, you have the guns that you can buy that are like the controllers. And you can run around, and you're like in the game because you have this thing on. And that's already happening now. They've already put out development kits like Kickstarter to like get it going. But Mark Zuckerberg came in and bought the whole thing. So now he's working with it.
Wow.
He bought it for like $2 billion.
So we're becoming the Matrix. Pretty soon we won't have to leave the house.
I was going to say, you don't ever have to do it. You don't ever have to leave again.
Yeah. And they're, I'm kind of excited for Zuckerberg to take it because he wants to implement it with social things, put it into TV. I've heard this thing where he wants to launch a satellite that has all these different cameras on it. And, you know, like once a week, he'll turn the satellite in a different direction, and you can put on your Oculus Rift and choose a camera of this satellite that has they're all telescopes, and you can just look out into space in whatever direction.
That is pretty cool.
Whatever
actually,
direction they're
yeah.
facing that week, you know?
That is actually pretty rad.
Courtside
that is pretty
games,
cool.
You know?
Courtside game. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would you ever need to leave the house again? That's creepy. I mean, it's awesome. But at the same time, it's really scary. Mm-hmm. I think it's really creepy and scary. But
well,
really
there's
rad.
Two things that always lead the technology age. One is gaming, and the other one is the porn industry.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So
baby.
Once the porn industry gets a hold of it, that thing will just take off.
Which they already have. Literally. They're implementing.
right?
The peripheral devices.
I'm not surprised.
And everything.
So it was like Google Glasses, but different, but like
totally encompassing.
Yeah.
It's like a helmet you wear with. Like
man,
a,
it would make car rides
you,
with you, you much
look
more enjoyable.
You look around and you know you see whatever direction you're looking at. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a lot of games for like Xbox One that they're already that you can already use mm-hmm. for it, and people kind of have an advantage just by because they don't have to turn a stick to look. They can look as quick as their head can rotate, mm-hmm. you know. So they're going to fine tune it and all that stuff. But
wow, that's just crazy.
You think about the military implications of it.
That's creepy.
Well, here's you know. Another thing, too. What happens when you possibly are disabled or for quadriplegic or paraplegic or even you get so old your body could be on life support.
But
and
you
then
could
you
be.
Could just use that and you could still almost
like
function.
Socially,
a,
yeah. Like if it's in a social. That's funny. I remember like some like apocalyptic talk thing. I say I'm a Jesus-y person, which is true, but I used to be really super religious, and they had this scary apocalyptic discussion about, you know, like soon we're all just going to download ourselves onto the internet. It was like in the early 2000s, late 90s, and then you're just going to download your brain on there, and we're not going to be people anymore. And it was like that could never happen. That's like happening right now.
It's
mm-hmm.
pretty close.
Yeah, you can download your consciousness into memory chips or something like that. I mean, eventually the storage is going to be so efficient, and just the way that it processes and renders the information you put into it, you'll be able to have all your memories and your personality traits in it. And that's just like on a memory chip. Instead of freezing yourself, why not just preserve your consciousness and then upload it into whatever medium that the future comes up with, you know?
That's what you talk about
like
all the
a time. Digital tree. Maybe you'd mm-hmm. want to be a tree in your next life. So before you die, you put your consciousness into a memory stick. They create digital trees that are like half organic and half technology.
But what if you're like after
I don't know why you'd want to be a tree.
And what if you were like, it sounds good to be a tree. And then you're a tree and you're like, I don't want to be a tree anymore.
You could be an
be
eagle.
Be a dog.
But then would you?
Not in Asia, but you could be a dog.
Right.
Not in Asia. Because you wouldn't last that long. Might be a traumatic experience.
You could actually experience being killed and then turned into stew and eaten and go through the whole process.
And then be a tree.
What if reincarnation was how it worked? And like even though you put your thing in a memory card, yeah. you died, you still come back.
As like
and
a
then
butterfly.
You've got a duplicate entity running around. Wow. Or you can't reincarnate. Because not all of you is gone, so your spirit is just trapped in the in-between world.
Wow. Well, this
and
like,
then your spirit, it's like this big mystery, like murder action thing where like your spirit is trying to like kill.
I think we came up with
There's
a new
some
movie.
Sci-fi stuff
I think
there.
You just came up with a new movie.
We got it on tape.
It's ready.
It's fantastic.
And if anyone else does it, then you broke a copyright because he did it right here. We heard him do it.
Fantastic.
It's his story.
Hell
so
yeah.
Don't you dare steal it.
Exactly. Oh, this will be great.
This is gold.
Yeah.
We like the science fiction a lot. One thing that we talk about all the time is about all those different stories that we want to write, and we're really into the science fiction. Me more space, I think, and you more, I don't know, you like spacey stuff too. Yeah.
Sci-fi.
We like the science
futuristic.
Fiction. I've always wanted to go to space. That's like my biggest dream ever in the whole wide world is to go to space. But it's not like I just want to even do like the Virgin Galactic thing and do the orbit, which I do mm-hmm. want to do that. That would be amazing. But I want to just like keep going. And it makes me almost frustrated that I live in a time where we're not. And I think we could have.
So close.
And, you know, if we would have just kept going in like 68, like, okay, we landed on the moon. And then we just kept really going mm-hmm. and putting tons and tons of money into that instead of like nukes and stuff.
War because of religion.
War and, you know, the war on drugs and the war and the Halliburton. If it was focused on space instead, then maybe we would be at a place at my age where we could be like, you know, traveling far distances and exploring.
Yep.
Let's be honest. We need more drugs to get us into space.
We need more
good ideas.
Right? And maybe the war should have been on drugs. The war should have been for drugs to help.
The war should be getting people who aren't doing drugs to do drugs.
That's awesome. That's the message to the youth
today. I will fight
today.
That war.
Yeah, can you put that out into the universe next to your, like if you're parking spaces.
You know, I wish it you could predict which ones really worked the mm-hmm. best.
Yeah, I don't think meth is really the one that's going to bring us to space.
Meth?
Mm-mm. No, that's...
You never know. I mean, if you worked really hard, everyone took meth, we can get a lot of shit done.
Yeah, but...
What is that?
What is that sound?
Oh, it's done the ice now. Maker.
I think it was you, baby.
No, it's the ice maker.
Oh, is it the ice maker? That's a powerful ice maker. It's powerful. I just want to go to space. So if you guys out there, if you're out there, help us get to
space.
Could
the aliens just come grab her and take her?
Oh, wow, baby. It's been a long 2.5 months.
If we put it out there, it'll happen.
If we put it out there.
So if she's missing, you know the aliens took her.
Right. Oh, that's so bad. And that's no. If I'm missing,
stranger danger.
Check him first.
Right. No. Aliens did it.
Aliens. It's the aliens.
They came down. It was a light, and
She was gone.
They're like, "Would you like to go?"
And I was like, "No, I'll stay here." But she's gone.
So I like pushed her out, and I was like, "Take her first. Don't take me." What? Tell me if it works.
Come back if it's a good thing.
Or just put her thoughts in a memory chip and send that back.
Right.
Seems like that'd be less of a hassle.
Yeah, you could upload me into any body that you wanted.
Take
Sophia
her thoughts.
Vargas,
leave the meat
whatever.
Carcass behind.
That's what happened. I didn't kill her. They left her body and took her memories. It was the aliens. Worst defense ever. So don't even try it.
We could donate her body to science. No, just donate it to Asia. They'll know what to do. They're getting bored over there. They need new ideas.
Some of the Fijian islands, I think they still... Pacific Islands.
The Fijian islands.
Yeah, don't they eat people?
I don't think they eat
people.
They don't eat people. But in Papua New Guinea, I think there are some tribes that they still do.
That's the one I meant.
Yeah, I know, baby.
Okay, thanks.
We work together. We're a team.
You're my memory.
I am his memory. No, literally. We talk all the time about shows. He's like, okay, now which one was that? And I have to go into detail. I'm like, this is the one where we stayed at this hotel and we did this. Okay.
40 shows. They all kind of blend together.
Not for me.
She's an elephant.
I am.
And her memory's good, too.
But wow, that's enough of that, bam. I take that back. That's just mean. No.
No.
Boo.
Send her to the burn ward.
Send her to the burn.
That's hot.
But no, if you, in the car, if you can't get all that equipment for the VR stuff.
The orb and.
Google has this thing called Google Cardboard.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even like have a patent on it because it's so simple. They had like a big conference or something, and they just gave a bunch of development kits to like a bunch of developers and gamers and just anybody who wanted one. And it's just a kit of cardboard with two lenses and a magnet, and you assemble it around your phone, and then you just put your face up through the cardboard through the lenses. And using the gyroscopes and the motion sensors that are in our, the newer phones, smartphones, you can like get on Google Maps and take tours of the whole world, but it's like completely encompassed in your vision. You can get on YouTube, and the menu for it is so cool because all you see is a bunch of screens with pictures or like movies in motion, and you just look around with your head and it like... Based on where you're looking, that screen will get bigger if you want to select it. And then you use the magnet. It's the only button on it. And it's just, and it uses, this magnet isn't like something that's connected into your phone, but there's like a compass feature that uses magnets in your phone to like find out. That's what reads this little circular magnet switch that's on the outside of the cardboard. You press it down and it recognizes that you're pressing it down. So that's the selector button.
So it creates a switch that way.
Yeah. Yeah. But they have,
So
they have
where do you get
games.
Those cardboard kits from? You just have to order them? Or?
You know, I haven't looked at it since I read about it. I'll look now. But you could go on Amazon and just buy the kit for like $10.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad.
But the hope is that people will, think of more ideas for it, and that people will actually just take it to a whole nother level. just a really smart move by Google. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, just wins them brownie points, basically.
Google is amazing. They want to go to space, too. Google's all about going to space.
I'm waiting for the self-driving cars. I think that'll be awesome.
He's very, especially at this point.
Especially right
now. In our
now.
Tour, he's like, I would really like a self-driving car.
Do you do majority driving?
He does all
of it. Yeah, like 99.9%.
Mm. He's literally done. The only time he didn't was one night in LA for about 1 mile and it's actually really cool because you want to say that you drove across the country and it's been really fun and it works out great because while he's doing that, I sit in the passenger seat with my laptop and my little data thing and I work on booking and promoting and we actually don't talk that much in the car anymore because I'm focused on doing that and you're driving and listening to music, which we used to always talk.
Well, I talk to her. She tunes me out mostly. So it's a one-sided conversation.
It's tunnel
listen
vision.
To the radio.
I'm working.
I drive. But, you know, things like sometimes I'll eat a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes he cries.
Sometimes I cry. I sing to the radio. I do whatever I want. You know, it's a lonely, lonely world.
Oh, no, but I am really working pretty hard over there. So and other stuff, too. Other
I'm
stuff.
I'm going to show you the pictures
at.
Here.
Oh.
That's the Google Cardboard kit.
Okay.
That's and one of the things on Amazon.
It's $25 and free shipping.
There's a couple of them that this wasn't the most expensive and highest rated one.
Oh.
So when I was first looking at them on Amazon, there was like two or three options, and they had like no reviews. So it was this real kind of like, I don't know about this. But now that I looked, it's like, the whole page is full of different developers who have all different kinds of, they have black ones, they have ones with straps that you can just, so you don't have to hold it, you can just keep it attached to your head. And they have actually good reviews and they're priced well. So thing is, you just got to make sure that your phone is compatible. You need an update like a Galaxy S5 or a...
Is the iPhone 5 this?
It might be. No, because it's Google.
Google
and Android, so.
I didn't like it. I tried to have an Android phone once, and it didn't work. I would say I'm enamored with the iPhone, but mine doesn't charge. I mean, it's really bad. Like, it'll
it's
go
like
from
It's like your third
full,
one or something.
Yeah, the third iPhone 5 I've had, and they've all been, like, every one is worse and worse when it comes to the battery life. Like, I got this one because the other battery life was so bad, and this one, a full charge will maybe last me 2 hours. I'm on the phone like an hour. It's really bad.
Yeah.
It's like, which is going to be bad for New York because now we have the phone charger in the car and I can be strapped to it. But when we're out and about.
Well, iPhone used to be the smartphone to have. But I think the other ones have caught up now where it's like they have so many issues with the screens breaking and the batteries.
And the screen's so tiny.
It is. We'll see what happens in a week. When they release the new one, right? I think it's like a week before they announce the new one.
Yeah, a few days.
Do they have pictures of it?
I like the operating system so much. I've seen some like, this is probably what it looks like. And they look giant.
It's like bigger than the 5 and the screen goes all the way to the edges from what I've seen. So
I like the Apple operating system a lot because it's very intuitive and easy. And the Android was very confusing and never did what I wanted it to do. We are not sponsored by Android and Apple for that matter, which is why we're not sponsored by anyone really. Actually, that's not true. We have kind of a sponsor, don't we?
Who's our sponsor?
is it okay if we do a little sort of plug? Mm-hmm. I feel like that's my phone. That's
Ignite new. Hospitality Services.
Yeah. They've been amazing. Especially if you're a touring musician or, any artist, comedian, they, basically you do trade work, sometimes it's like a mini performance or social media stuff for a hotel, and then you stay for free. So because of this, like when we were in New Orleans, we couch surfed for 2 days in the Ninth Ward, which was awesome and super rad. And then we spent one night in like a beautiful 4 or 5 star fancy brand new modern hotel.
The St. Charles?
St. Charles. The Royal St. Charles.
The Royal St. Charles.
And then, so we did that for one night, and it was beautiful and super fancy. And then we did another night in the middle of the French Quarter in this, like, historic hotel.
Pierre.
Yeah, that was built in, like, 1780. And Louis Armstrong stayed there, and it was all these cottages. And if you've ever been to New Orleans, from the outside, it looks, like, kind of cool, but you never... Majority of the town, especially in the French Quarter, is behind where all the courtyards and stuff are that you can't see. So it was really cool being back there and seeing, like, they had five courtyards with pools and gardens, and it was like the secret side of New Orleans. So because of ignitehospitalityservices.com, I'm hoping that's right. Because of that, we've been able to stay at like some amazing places. And it's been nice because it's like we'll camp, we'll couch surf, and then we get a nice hotel that's like a comfy bed. And it always ends up, we've never had it really rain when we've been camping or bad weather. It always ends up that we're in a hotel whenever there's a storm. Like every single time.
I put that out to the universe.
Yeah, I was going to say that's probably what Doug. That is.
I'm going to take credit for that.
I'm going to take Praise Buddha. Praise Buddha.
Whatever. Whatever you, guys, you want to.
Ew.
Your imaginary sky wizard you want to pray to.
Wow.
As long as the thoughts go out there.
Because that's all that really matters, because that's what prayer is. It's just thoughts put out to the universe. You don't have to say any magic thing at the beginning or the end. You just put it out there.
The reason our relationship works so well, even though we're a different religion, is because of we respect each other's beliefs so much.
It's because I put out to the universe that I wanted you to understand.
I respect his, and then I just take it when he makes fun of me.
And tolerates me. Okay.
I just roll my eyes. I'm just like, whatever. It is what it is. I'm used to it. It's fine.
Maybe you should pray for me to stop.
I don't know if I even have the faith for that.
You don't have enough faith. That's what it is.
But I'm a fan.
Sinner.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I don't even know where that
was. Why are you bringing up constantly religion?
I don't know. You started it. I feel like you started it.
It's because you're insecure about it. I don't understand why you have to bring it up. I was just talking about
how awesome it's been, and you're like, it's because that you... Can I just at least get some confirmation that he's the one that brought it into the religion?
He's shaking his head no towards
you.
No,
he is. He's shaking his head yes.
No, I
wildly.
Commented first. It's no.
He's actually completely stoic right now.
I think he's tired.
I just want to watch you guys.
He's scared is what it is. There's fear in
those
eyes.
He's waiting for the throat punch. Go for it. I know. She's far enough away. I can get away quickly.
I always threatened a throat punch, but I've never done it. But I threaten it usually when I'm hungry in the mornings and he refuses to stop for food.
And I'm the violent, angry one.
He's not. You're not. No one's ever said you're a violent, angry one.
No, no, I'm very peaceful.
Yes.
It's my religion that keeps
me. Oh, my God.
Ba-dum-pa.
So, guys, where is the road taking you now? Where is the next stop?
Our next stop is in Mobile, Alabama.
Oh, they're big on religion there.
They are.
From what I've heard.
The great thing about Mobile, Alabama, and then later Panama City, Florida, is that we don't actually have shows set up in those towns. We couldn't set those up, which is kind of rare for us. Usually we've been able to set up shows in every state. So when encountering this phenomenon, we don't know what we're going to do because we have to perform there. We're going to be there. We have a hotel tonight in Mobile, and then we have a hotel tomorrow in Panama City. So we're not sure where we're going to perform.
She's real big on the street busking.
Yeah, we have never had to do that before. We've never had to do a rest.
Street busking?
Street busking is when you perform on the street to strangers
street
that don't.
Street performing. It's a fancy term.
Busking is like the fancy term.
Yeah, that's cool. It's what they use. It's the colloquial term for like the couch surfing people.
Colloquial for couch surfing?
Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know how couch surfing worked its way into busking. But anyway, so we've never had to do that. Usually we've at least gotten a bar that's let us perform. We've only had to do that once even. So this is one of the first times we've encountered this where there's like we've had a situation where we had to perform an open mic before. And it was awesome. It was an open mic for music like your friend did. And we got up there and I told them that we had never done comedy before. This was in Kansas. And that we had dared each other to get up there and do stand-up comedy for the first time. And they told us that they thought that we should keep doing it. They're like, you did pretty good for your first time.
You did okay.
I was hoping for a little bit more than like, you were okay for your first time. You were pretty good. I'm like,
let's put your name on the wall.
Let's put your name on the wall. Anyway,
give you a gold star.
So, but there's no open mics in Mobile, Alabama on a Friday night. Or I don't believe in Florida on a Saturday. So we will keep checking to see where we perform. I don't know. It might be a beach somewhere. If you have any suggestions, a coffee shop, a street fair.
Usually dark alleyways are pretty much the best scenario you can put yourself in.
I know, right? The best. That's always the best. I feel like there's roaches there, though. In a dark alleyway in Mobile, there'll be roaches.
Maybe you could just do it in the hotel bathroom or something.
Yeah. The hotel bathroom. No, we actually have to do a performance for at least one person, I think, to count it.
Is that the rules now?
I feel like that we have to use microphones. It has to be a performance.
What it is? I don't know.
We haven't decided, but we have to do all 50 states, right? We can't do 48. We could, but then that would be there wouldn't be a 50 state tour, and we would basically have failed. So I don't know. Is there a hot spot where people just hang out in Mobile? Do you know?
Being a local. The entertainment center region, something, isn't there?
I don't know. I don't know much of the.
There's
Mobile
a college.
Go through it all the time, but it's usually just to get to other places
that are better. I only say that out of bitterness because not one.
We'll put we'll put this podcast out after you do the show,
right? Well, I have literally contacted every bar and coffee house in Mobile and Dolphin Island as well because I like it there and it's close and it's still Alabama, mm-hmm. And everyone has said no, so I'm a little angry and bitter towards Mobile, Alabama right now. Mm-hmm. There's a college there, though, right? Like, we could just maybe even go to the college this afternoon while they're walking around and just
yell jokes at people.
Do a minute set.
I don't think you could do it.
We could do our duo.
I don't think you
we
could do 1 minute. I don't think you could even a situation like that, you would still have to do at least a solid three.
At least a solid.
Just to introduce yourself.
Right. Oh, that's just mean. We do have a little PA, battery-powered even, PA system with two mics, so we could do our duo set.
Can we just do it driving down the freeway?
We could ask
stick
them
it out
for
the window.
Right.
Oh, that'd be great. Google if you had Google cars that were just driving for you, and
right?
You could just never get out of the car.
And just have like out the window.
Yeah.
We could. That would be less scary. We could just park at the college, sit in the car, put the PA
out in front of an AutoZone. Hola, mi amigos.
I don't know. We're going guerrilla.
No, wait,
style
that's Home Depot.
In Alabama.
It's not AutoZone.
And basically, we are going guerrilla style in Alabama, and maybe Florida.
We're going commando in Florida.
No, we're going guerrilla. No, I already want to get some. The thing is I love the Gulf. I love it. I love the beaches on the Gulf of Mexico. And so I would like to have some beach time in between all this guerrilla.
Should have booked some shows.
I know. So we might have to be on the beach. Me in a bikini laying on the beach with the microphone telling jokes.
Now that would be funny.
To me on a bikini on the beach.
All the people trying to help you get back in the water and get back. Throwing water on you.
Like I'm a mermaid.
Don't let her dry out. No, not like a mermaid. No.
I don't get it then. I don't get it at all. Jokes are supposed to be funny, baby.
Never mind.
He's worried about me just rambling on. At least I have a point eventually.
Where can people go to find out more? Keep up with you.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we're like ending
this. Go ahead and answer this one.
TheHeAndSheShow.com. Andy, TheHeAndSheShow.com. You can follow us there. We have a blog that you can follow along with us that I would need to actually publish a bunch of posts that are past due. Hopefully, by the time you see this, you'll be able to really follow our trip in detail. So that's a good way to find us. We still have the whole East Coast to do in Hawaii and Alaska.
And then you can purchase the book probably at the website when we finish it.
Yeah.
Links to movies, documentary.
But definitely a book for sure.
Yeah, because with all the couch surfing stuff and the travels.
We have so many stories. And, you know, sometimes when we have situations like this in Mobile, like we were talking yesterday, I was like really stressed out about it. He's like, hey, this will be a better story for the book. And it will be a better story, I'm assuming, than like, hey, we had a great show and people came and it was fun.
This is where Doug left me in Mobile. And I.
Well, it would be a better book if I just wrote it myself. So maybe if you do.
That's what's going to happen. And I'm just going to, you know, put some interjections.
But then you won't have anyone to carry you. And you can't do the Doug Schweikoff
show. That's your weakness.
On your own.
Weakness is kindness. You will carry me.
That is my weakness, is my kindness.
Suggestion for the book title, maybe? How Jesus Did Nothing.
Love it. And with that.
Wow.
Proof Jesus does nothing.
That way there's both Jesus and nothing in the title. You
I
get
love it.
You get a little bit of both worlds.
Wow.
You know?
Jesus / nothing.
Stefan and Doug just against me, I feel like right now.
Oh, no. I love Jesus. His books are great.
That one fic is in, I think, is it's quite popular.
You two brats.
E2, Stefan. Yep.
You can't see it because we're on the talkie-talkie only, but Doug's eyes are full of glee and light and happiness.
I will admit,
because he's looking at himself in the mirror.
I do have a giant smile. I can see it on my face in the mirror.
That is probably. I'm a male model. I could basically be a male model.
What show was that? What TV show was that? That was like the script for you.
I was a featured extra on a webisode of Grey's Anatomy.
More than one webisode.
So she puts it on the posters and tells everybody that I'm in Grey's Anatomy. So if you check my IMDb, there's no such thing.
But he was, okay, it's true. And I do put it on the posters just to aggravate him, to be honest.
Actually, the video's on our website.
Yeah, there is a, and he was actually on a series, the whole Webba series he was on each, because in like the big shows they'll do in the summer, they'll do a Webba series, you know. And so he's on that, and he's like a featured extra, but he's like the main character through the whole thing. He just doesn't get a talk, so he gets paid less money. It's basically how it works. And I also put on the posters, and I might take this off now because it's just sad that he was on Bridesmaids, because he was, but it's at the very end, and it's like a second. Anyway, so I put it on there mainly also because I tell a story from stage about, should I do it on this? Should we close with, can I do it? I'll do it on this. So he was on the Grey's Anatomy. And they refer to him as a male model. And they literally gesture over to him and say, and you can see the video on our website, theheandsheshow.com. They say, obviously this man is a male model. Like, they say it just like that. And he's looking like, I am? And so he's always around the house. He's like, in Hollywood, they call me a male model. I could basically be a male model. And people look at me, they're like, he's a male model. I'm like, oh, you are, baby, you are. For like Viagra or Cialis or Depends.
Yeah, that was before I got married. And now those opportunities have diminished, I think, greatly.
As your body has not diminished. Has expanded.
Oh.
And your gray hair
is like the universe.
Like the universe, always expanding.
Constantly expanding.
I like how you brought it back to space. That warms my heart.
Thank you. You should believe in it someday.
In space?
The universe.
The universe. I do believe in the universe.
It's a real thing. Neil deGrasse Tyson said so.
Well, if whatever he says, he's very smart. And he has a good voice, too.
Yeah.
Sexy.
He has a podcast, too.
He does. And
Star Talks.
Star Talks.
Yeah. He has comedians come on there. You guys should reach out.
Oh, I'll reach out. All right. That would be rad, actually. Could you imagine?
God touch.
Sorry about the loud banging sound. That would be awesome.
Could you hook us up on that? Could you do that one too? You guys do the podcast thing. I mean, it's all the same, right?
Right? You're in the same world
of
podcasts. Yeah,
we basically...
Your best
microphones
friends.
Microphones and stuff.
Same. I'm basically.
Basically.
I'm basically an astrophysicist on a microphone.
Podcast.
Basically. Well, we just talked about science-y stuff, like the Google Cardboard and the whole world.
Yeah, I know all the shit there is about cardboard. I'm your cardboard expert.
It's genius.
You were a genius.
Thank you.
Until Google came along.
Oh, more of my jokes.
I opened it up for you, but you didn't take it, so I had to go with it. No dead air.
No dead air space. She where were you doing that? No dead air?
What do you mean? Oh, are you talking about our interview? What?
Oh, yeah. We were doing a print ad interview.
Not for an ad. They were doing an interview for us for the paper.
For the paper.
Our weekly.
I was like, you kept talking the whole time, and she's like, you don't want any dead air. And I'm like, it's not radio. It was a print interview.
I didn't let her ask any questions. And then we got in an argument because it was a testy morning. It really was. And so we got in an argument while we were on the phone, speakerphone with her as she was doing the interview.
Oh,
it was an interesting
good.
Article, actually. It's
came out quite slanted in your direction. I don't understand why.
Maybe because I didn't stop talking the entire time. It's a weakness.
At least we can recognize it, and then that's how we start to work on it.
There you go. And that's our show, folks.
Ba-dum-bam.
Well, thank you all for doing this. It was a lot of fun.
We
well, glad
you all
stopped by.
Thank you so much for having us. This was super fun. I love
absolutely.
The podcast.
Oh, they're so great. You just get to sit and ramble and talk and do whatever. No producers tell you what to do. You just do it.
What did we do? Two hours there?
Let's see. We're at 1:40.
Do you have a time limit on your things?
No. Nope.
You just throw them up there?
We go until we are bored.
What number is this now?
He's bored of us.
This is 39. No. This is number 39.
Oh, man. If it would have been 40 or 30, it would have been like the same amount of show.
But we're not in sync. You got to put that shit out there to the universe. You get good parking stalls. That's all
I'm
saying.
If we can go back in time and make it happen... Do a show before this.
Oh, time travel. Can the next time we're on the podcast, we can explore time travel?
That's a good one.
I'll talk with Neil, and
we'll get him on here.
Figure this out.
We'll find a fourth mic. We'll do it.
That's right. I've got the fourth mic.
You
already
do?
Done.
It's already.
Why isn't Neil here?
Well,
I really like you guys. So the next time we're going to book Neil and we'll do it really big.
Oh my gosh. You know how many times we heard that, like at venues? They're like, they promised all these things. And they didn't deliver any of it. And then they, like, after the show, you're like, well, we didn't really know about you. But, so we didn't really promote it. But now that we've seen you, the next time you come, we're really going to push this.
Yeah,
we're
really
going to really push
promote
it.
For you guys
like,
next
that's awesome.
There won't be a next time.
There won't be. He's angry and bitter over here. So we'd like to thank Ben again at the Irish Coast for watching our videos before he booked us to decide if he liked us enough to promote us before.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But he watched them and then still booked us. That's
I know. That's awesome.
That's
thank
the beauty
you.
There.
That is the beauty.
If you want to hear the more podcasts, you can go to coastalnoise.com. We've got it all there for you. I've got a couple blogs that I've put up this week. Top five movies that you should see right now, including the talented Mr. Ripley, Matt Damon's early career. Moon, a British sci-fi movie. The Fisher King, of course. Ghost Dog, which is a pretty cool movie about Forrest Whitaker who plays.
I thought it was an Asian movie about food and.
No, but it is Asian themed. Forrest Whitaker plays a mafia hitman who lives by the codes and philosophy as outlined in the ancient ways of the samurai.
I've seen all those except for Ghost Dog.
Ghost Dog's pretty cool. It's a Jim Jarmusch film. He did Dead Man with Johnny Depp. It's a Western kind of thing. Black and white out of the 90s, 95, I think.
It's the year I graduated high school.
He's got a movie out right now called Only Lovers Left Alive. I don't know if you've heard that one. It's something about vampires that are hanging out with each other. I don't know. But he's a different guy. And then, of course, number one, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
We haven't yet, which is the first time I have not seen a Wes Anderson movie when it initially comes out. I actually flew to New York once to see, which movie was that? The day, like it came out like a week or 2 weeks early in New York. And I was a flight attendant, so it's not that dramatic. Mm-hmm. But I saw that one. I think it's the train one. I love Wes Anderson. He's my favorite. I met him once in New York.
She loves him so much, she can't even remember the name of the movie.
No, right? It's no sleep. I love him so much.
Guardians of the Galaxy. I recommend that one also.
Oh, yeah.
That was...
Yeah, I'll check that one out for
space.
Sure.
Space. I like space. Mm-hmm. But Wes Anderson's amazing. Yeah. We have to... We're going to watch Grand Budapest Hotel immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
It's an absolute must watch.
Jason Schwartzman is wonderful.
On the Oculus Rift while we're driving in the car.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. With the war of drugs over.
And we're going to space.
We'd have to do it in a self-driving car.
Yeah.
Solve the world's problem right there. All right.
That would be it. That'd be like the way, like, car accidents would be so terrible because you'd be finding people who were just weren't driving and just wearing VR, like things, and it's like, man, so weird because normally they'd be responsible for the accident they were in. Now we're just finding them like watching porn in their car.
Like, it's not my fault. It's Google's fault.
Yeah.
This is their car. Suri has tried to kill us enough that I don't know if I trust. And Guri as well, which is what we call the...
Google voice.
The Google one. Mm-hmm. Like Google Maps voice. They have both tried to kill us enough times by taking us into places we shouldn't be going or into like trying to turn us onto the wrong street that
driving
I'm not...
Driving up the wrong way in the freeway.
Yeah, that was Suri, bless her heart. So we're still not... I'm not sold yet on the self-driving cars.
Yeah.
Until they get the navigation portion down.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of other visual things, I've got the photography page loaded up with some new pics that I've put up there with my cam. And also I'm going to put up some pictures and probably a blog post for the show from last night So I'll have some pictures of Doug and Teresa and Daniel and Derek and all that good stuff. So you can get on there and check it out and say nice things about it if you'd like. That'd be cool, right?
Ooh, can't absolutely.
Put good things out there. You yes. know what I'm saying?
Right. You get a parking spot.
That's all, folks.
Thank you.
Good day.
All right, thank Au you.
Bye-bye.
I think I spilled chai on your chair.